Everyone, our first case this morning is Ivey v. Gibson. Mr. Smith, good morning to you.
Good morning. Police Court, James D. Smith, Assistant Attorney General, hearing for the appellants. In this case, Judge Wright entered an order for supplemental briefs on what may be main issue now, whether the Sex Offender Commitment Act provides statutory authority for the payment of court-appointed counsel in this case. The due date of the supplemental briefs is a week from today. I appreciate the court ordering supplemental briefs rather than bringing what would be a first impression issue on us during oral argument questions. My research so far, it's incomplete, but preliminary indication, I have two parts. First one is the court may have found the statutory authority that counsel for the parties themselves had not previously discovered. And the second thing is the district court may have erred in ordering the wrong government entity to pay the court-appointed attorney fees. And that's because the Sex Offender Commitment Act provides that all costs relating to those proceedings are to be paid by the county of residence. Mr. Ivey was committed out of Douglas County, not Madison County. So it might be that the district court had no basis to ordering Madison County to pay the fees. I talked to Mr. Stover. He did file his supplemental brief early. His brief does not address the issue of whether the right governmental entity was ordered to pay the fees. If he does wish to have his supplemental brief stricken and allow him to file a replacement brief, that he can address the issue of which governmental entity should pay the fees, I have advised him. I have no objection to that. Unless the court has any other questions, I think the rest of my argument probably would better made after I file the supplemental brief. I think I write better, so hopefully it's sufficient.
Can we reach the issue about the wrong entity? Is that plain error? Does that work?
Well, I think it's subsumed within. I tried to assign the error fairly broadly. I think it would be subsumed within that. The record is going to show that he was committed out of Douglas County, which then comes down to obviously not appear to be a resident of Madison County. There's a basis for the judge to find Madison County, so then it comes down to whether the court on his own reverses and does a remand direction on which county should be ordered to pay, or remands directing the district court to make a finding on residency, which I think would be fairly simple matter. Because otherwise what we are looking at is one county that happens to have the state regional center is going to be putting the bill for a lot of expenses potentially. That doesn't.
Can I ask a general question?
Sure.
In terms of this attorney fees? To what extent do both parties agree, or what things do you all agree on?
As I said, my conclusions are fairly preliminary. What I've been involved in lately, my research last night was basically done between 10 and 2, so I haven't concluded it other than my suspicion that when I get an order like that, usually or just found something that we and I haven't found anything. But as far as whether we agree on it, not yet. As far as whether attorney's fees should be ordered. But I do think we agree that it may be, it should be ordered. Wrong county may be pay him, and he should be allowed to resort.
So are you telling us that tentatively you agree that there is a source for payment?
My preliminary indication is that It may be under the Sex Offender Commitment Act, because that act does incorporate the Mental Health Commitment Act, and the Mental Health Commitment Act does provide for a series of rights, including appointment of counsel, and it also addresses the right to file habeas. So then it's a matter of how those statutes are construed, and if they're construed, you have a right to counsel, you have a right to file habeas. It does have provisions for payment of counsel and the mental health commitment. If all of that is incorporated by reference, then you could end up reaching the conclusion that the Sex Offender Commitment Act is somewhat unique on the issue of habeas, and one is entitled to court-appointed counsel for habeas, and have a court-appointed counsel for his mechanism.
Mr. Stover will have a chance to answer, but I would suggest that one area of potential agreement is that if there is a statutory right to court-appointed counsel at public expense in this particular habeas proceeding, it would be a very narrow exception to the general rule that, by and large, habeas, you don't get court-appointed counsel.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and that's why I did the somewhat unique thing in my brief, which challenged the other side to come up with some authority, which they hadn't. I thought the law was fairly clear. Found an isolated area on court counsel.
And for what it's worth, since we're all catching up, this court filed an opinion in Rice in early December, which may or may not be of interest.
Well, if there is a point in time where you disagree with your tentative suggestions today, are you going to file some kind of motion or indication that you...
It will be in my supplemental brief. My supplemental brief is just going to be my ultimate conclusion. And if there are differences in my tentative, it speaks for itself.
Thank you very much. Mr. Stover, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Your Honor, as it pleases the court, my name is Ryan Stover. I'm an attorney with Stroud & DeLay, Noel Carlson, and Bittner Carpolo. I represent the appellee, I'm sorry, in this case, Mr. Ivey. And Mr. Smith Mr. Smith has been very kind and gracious to me through these proceedings, and he stopped me this morning, and he had read my supplemental brief, which I think, or I hope, highlights the issues that or at least answers the question that were posed in the request for supplemental brief, whether there's statutory authority. And if I could just address that briefly, it seems to me that 71-945 would give Mr. Ivey or give him a right to counsel during proceedings under the Act, under the Sex Offender Commitment Act. That same statute, if he's indigent, would entitle him to court-appointed counsel. I was appointed to represent Mr. Ivey under that statute. 71-947 allows the procedure for court-appointed counsel to request fees, which I followed and submitted my bill to the county, and Judge Johnson entered the order awarding the fees, or not awarding the fees. I think that's the wrong term, and maybe part of what my disagreement with the appellants on this case were. When they cite Garwall and the Anderson case, I think that those cases are really dealing with a different issue, and that was judgment for attorney's fees taxed to the defendants. And this is a different thing. This is payment of court-appointed counsel. When I was appointed, I had obligations to Mr. Ivey. I had to comply with the Code of Professional Conduct. And my appointment and my obligations to Mr. Ivey and to the court continued until the case ended, or I was released from that appointment. And the bill that I submitted was a result of the work that I did in that case. And Mr. Smith has already mentioned this, but 71-959 sub 9 specifically allows a subject under the Act to challenge the legality of their confinement and treatment through habeas proceeding. So it would seem to me that habeas corpus is an appropriate proceeding under the Act, that he would Mr. Ivey was entitled to court-appointed counsel, that the order was proper. My supplemental brief has already been submitted, as Mr. Smith pointed out. Unfortunately, I did not address the issue that he pointed out to me today. I don't know what the court's preference would be, and if I would have the opportunity to address that issue, if I make a motion that my brief be stricken and I resubmit within the deadline to try to address the issue of what the appropriate political entity was to pay the fee. But other than that, if I could ask for some guidance from the court on that, but I don't know as I would ever leave anything else to say.
I would suggest that you simply file the motion and the court will try to approach the problem in a reasonable manner, and chances are you'll get some opportunity to further expound on that.
Thank you, Your Honor. And if there's not any other questions, thank you.
Thank you very much. We will go on then to the next case of the day, which is State versus